Anybody here that they probably don't already know, Lord, but your Holy Spirit working through me, Lord, can bring a message that can pierce a heart. My prayer today, Father, is that Holy Spirit will convey this message, this last message on the significance of Israel before we get into the end times next week. Lord, I pray that this message about Israel, which will tie right into end times, will be so significant, Lord, that we'll remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the reconciliation of thy people of Israel to yourself. For this has always been your heart and will always be your heart until you return. And so, Lord, I just pray you bless these words in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about the significance of Israel. This is the eighth time, and this will be the last time that I talk about the actual significance of Israel. Next week, we're going to head into end times, which is probably going to be a rehashing of a lot of what we've already talked about because Israel is so involved in end times. We've talked about how the church has adopted it, or at least part of the church has adopted and said, well, the church has replaced Israel. And, you know, we haven't replaced anything. You know, Israel is the olive tree. We are the branches that have been grafted in. They are the natural branches, and those natural branches will be regrafted in at the end time. And so we are that, and I'm not even going to say intermission, the continued plan of God where Gentiles are now being added to the church. And we will merge with the Messianic Jews to become one new man. And so that's been the summation of what we've studied so far and what we are about on this last part, on part eight, of the significance of Israel. And again, we'll pick up on end times and how Israel and all of us will relate into the times we're coming in. Perfect timing. God told me to preach it now because obviously we're in a season. We don't know when he's coming back, but we can certainly recognize the season that we're in. And don't let it make you fearful. Just make you aware so that you can be a strength and a light in these times that are ahead, because there will be many that will not understand it, and there will be many that will be taken unawares, and we need to be those people who will make them and feel, number one, they need to come to Christ, but also feel secure in the times that are coming ahead, no matter what's going on around us. As we just heard in the song, the storms of life are going to come. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Things that you don't understand are always going to happen. But that's God is God. He's sovereign. He sees it all. You don't. And that's just the way it's going to remain until you get to be in heaven and get to know it all. Okay? So let's finish today with the significance of Israel and our series where we're talking about world events. And so I do want to finish with the world events and the future as it relates to Israel today. Today, 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 today. Radical Islamic terrorism. I don't know how many have heard that term, but radical Islamic terrorism is presently going on and it's widespread. We hear about it, of course, obviously here in the United States of America, but it's everywhere. Sebastian Gorka, an expert in Islamic terrorism, says ISIS is more dangerous than Al-Qaeda, the group who took down the World Trade Center. So ISIS, he's saying, is even more dangerous than the group that took down the World Trade Center. ISIS has lots of money, and you know, many of them are arrested right now, but if you've read the news lately, there's a lot that are going to be freed very soon because of the offenses of Turkey going in and doing what they do. I don't understand it all. I don't like politics, don't want to know about it, and it's not even politics, it's war. There's war going on over there, and a lot of ISIS people are getting their freedom. So that even relates more before I even wrote this, okay? But they are very dangerous, okay? ISIS has not only lots of money, but many recruits through the use of social media. Oh boy, social media. They have strong global communication strategies that are encrypted and tough to monitor. That's why they're effective. They have encrypted things that are very tough to monitor. Iran is a huge part of this. ISIS has been putting out news that they are planning on slaughtering thousands in order to spark a final battle with the West. I'm going to say that again. ISIS has been putting out news that they are planning on slaughtering thousands in order to spark a final battle with the West. And where are we located? Thank you. They are taunting both Israel, we know, always have, since the time, what did we say last time? Isaac and Ishmael, right? They have been, again, taunting both Israel and the West. Why the West with Israel? Because in the West, supposedly, we have lots of Christians. So Christians are being targeted and the Jews are being targeted because it's a holy war. And it's been a holy war since Isaac and Ishmael. This should not surprise any of us. These are spiritual things that can only be spiritually understood. And if you're a Christian, you understand that. If you're not, then it's all muddled for you. And if you look at the news, it'll even get even muddlier, if that's a word. Okay? Joel Rosenberg pointed out that ISIS, Islam's, that's the religion, right, that we talked about before. Islam is the religion that is against the Jews and Christians. Islam's objective is to serve Mati and annihilate, listen to this, because these are their words, annihilate Judeo-Christian civilization in order to establish God's kingdom on earth known as the Caliphate. The Caliphate. The Caliphate would be like a worldwide Islamic rule. If you want to know what Caliphate means, it's like the Islamic people believe that they're the true Christians aren't really going to be the descendants of God and, you know, in paradise and what all we know about the Bible, not going through all of that. They believe it's going to be a worldwide, simply, they're going to take over and this world will be changed into an Islamic rule. Okay? That's the goal of Islam. Eliminate Christianity, eliminate the Jews because they're the sons and daughters of promise from God, right? And establish Islamic rule. Really to say, hey, Ishmael was the rightful descendant of Abraham, not Isaac. So we're just kind of like, I'm just showing you the spiritual parallel that's going on here. But that is the goal of Islam. Now, it's the goal of Sunni Islam, if you've heard that on the news, Sunni, and the goal of Shia Islam. Both of them have that goal, but they both approach the objective in different ways. So the Sunnis and the Shias have the same objective to wipe us all out, but done in very different ways. Okay? Iran, the country of Iran, is Shia Islam. And they comprise about 10% of the Muslim population. Okay? So Iran, which is Shia Islam, is only 10% of the Muslim population. The Islamic State, you've heard that term, are Sunni Muslims, and they comprise 90% of the Muslim world. 90% of the Muslim world are Sunnis. 10% are Shias. And you're going to hear these terms more and more as you read and are in the news. These two groups have been killing each other since the 7th century, okay? Because each of them believes that they are the rightful heir to Muhammad, okay? However, they both believe that Islam will rule the world. So the commonality they have is that the Islamic people will rule the world, okay? But each of them believes that they're the rightful heir to this so-called prophet Muhammad. Muhammad is their greatest prophet that they've ever had. They believe that Jesus, for Christians, is the greatest prophet Christianity has ever had. I'm here to declare to you today, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus is God. Amen. He always has been, and he always will be. He decided, by the Father's request, to come and be incarnated. That means to be born through the Holy Spirit into mankind, to present himself as a man so that he could show us and we could relate to God and understand all of this that we are understanding now better. God himself loved us so much that he sent his only son so that he will not just save us, but be a representative of what heaven is like and what we have to look forward to. But not just to look forward to, but to live in the now and to be rightful heirs, we need to be representing the family well. Right? So this Muhammad is, again, they believe, these two different groups, that they're the rightful heirs to Muhammad. Now, like Christians, they also believe there's going to be a final battle with this Mati as their Messiah, not Jesus. So they don't, you know, I know I don't want to go out and take too much time with this. When I went to Jerusalem and I was standing up on the Mount of Olives and I was looking down at the East Gate and I was looking over the Islamic temple and I saw the city of Jerusalem and I was standing there when this Arab came up with a donkey and asked for money and gave me a kiss on the cheek. The donkey actually gave me the kiss on the cheek. You know, commercialism is always everywhere you go. But in standing there and looking down at Jerusalem, that East Gate is boarded up. Literally, hammer, 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 boards, 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 boards. Like, really, the Islamic people think that when Jesus comes back, those boards are going to keep him out of reclaiming Jerusalem. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. This is real deal. If you go over there, you'll see these boards on there. But as a safety net, there is a cemetery in front of the East Gate that they put. Because a Nazarene is not supposed to set foot where the dead are. So they've got a cemetery in front and boarded up so that Jesus will probably bypass the East Gate, which biblically in here says is where he's going to come back on the Mount of Olives. It'll split in two. Great earthquake, divide the city, come in, and you know, the final battle. That's where it all comes. However, interestingly enough, do you know that there is an earthquake fault line runs right down the middle of that? On the Mount of Olives, when it says he'll come back and then when he touches down that it'll be split in two and stuff like that, well, we look at that as like fantasy, you know, that can't happen and stuff like that. Well, when he touches down, you know, everybody knows about earthquake fault lines. Just look at California. And if California doesn't watch their stuff, they're going to be an island out there with Hawaii. I'm just serious. I mean, we have to obey God. When any state, any person, any administration, anybody disobeys God, there's consequence to sin. Jesus did not nail consequence to sin. He paid the price for sin so that you could be saved. But when you sin, there are consequences. That's why we need to pray for Jerusalem. We need to pray for the United States of America. We need to pray for those in authority over us. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying it. The Bible says it. But these guys over there think that by boarding it up and putting a cemetery in front, they're going to allow this Mahdi whatever to be the person instead of Jesus. Well, Jesus couldn't get in. We're going to just take the boards off and let Mahdi come on in. Wherever Mahdi comes from. They call Mahdi the 12th Imam. I don't know if he's a mom or a dad or what, or however this works. But they call Mahdi the 12th Imam or the final Mahdi. Final prophet, final whatever. He is the one they believe Allah, which Allah to them is God. When they call out for Allah, they're calling out for God. They believe this one they call, believe Allah will empower him to help Islam rule the world. So just as God the Father, and Satan always has his what? Deceptions. He's always got that mimicking. He's always trying to be in the likeness of whatever God does. Like the Antichrist is, you know, model, you know, trying to model who Jesus is going to be, and the beast, like the Holy Spirit, the beast, the world system, you know, running things. Where Holy Spirit's running things for us. So the devil has, you know, the devil, and then the Antichrist, and then the beast, you know, has God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's just trying to. I don't know what he's trying to do, but he better stop it. Because we're in control. He's under our feet, spiritually. And until we understand that, we're going to get run over. Okay? So here we have this one Allah will empower to help Islam rule the world. Iran, which are the Shias, right? 10%. Believes that they have to help this effort by destroying the great Satan. And that, of course, is the United States. And the little Satan, which is Israel. Okay? So Iran's goal is to destroy the great Satan. This is in their beliefs. This is in their system, right? We're going to get rid of the great Satan, the United States, and the little Satan, Israel. That's why Iran is so bent on establishing nuclear weapons. Hello, we're going to run our country on nuclear energy, and you need to trust us. Okay, I'm saying it like that just so that we can all come to the understanding that this is not a game. And it's not a political game. The secular world falls for it, and we feed it, we're in trouble. And that happened. The Islamics, the Sunnis, have a completely different view of how to do this. Okay? That was Iran. They want United States and Israel gone. The Sunnis, 90%, believe that their deliverer, Mahdi, will come in the final days to take over the world, so they want to create chaos in the world to help set up the return. Just as we are to set up the return of Jesus Christ, right? By walking in obedience and evangelizing the world and representing Christ the way he's represent is represent. Have you ever heard of the word that way? We need to represent Christ to the world. So if we're being hypocritical, if we're just doing church, if we're not living it 24/7, if we're not really Christians in our heart, but just coming in because of, out of guilt or whatever, we need to represent Christ and have it When he comes back, he wants the church victorious and militant and ready for his return, like those virgins that went and had their lamps trimmed. Not the ones that were sleeping on the job, just doing the dance, and then knocking on the door wanting to get in, and him going, I don't even know you. I told you to get ready, and you never got ready. Kind of my interpretation of that. So, as Satan would do, as mimicking this, through the Muslims, say, you know, God's using Christians, Satan's using these Muslims who happen to have, and not all Muslims are bad, Muslims that have the Islamic religion that believe that they are the ones to take over and that Jesus wasn't really God's son, okay? So I'm not trying to label all Muslims here, I'm just trying to say that, you know, a majority, a lot of the Arabs and the Muslims, most of the people in that faith come from that group of people, but it's the Islamic religion that actually believes all this. So they want to create chaos in the world to help set up this return, to the degree that they're even willing to kill themselves. And you know this about that population. Suicide bombers and all that stuff, they don't care. They believe that if they sacrifice their life, they're doing it for the great Mahdi, the great Islamic takeover, and they're willing to die because they're just sold out for their cause. How sad that statement is. Why do I say that? If only Christians would be so passionate. Just saying. They'll do anything. They'll die. They'll kill millions of their own people. They'll kill themselves for their cause of what they believe in so strongly. And we as Christians are afraid to even say anything out of fear of what somebody might say in return or knock on a door. Just bringing truth. So we need to understand these end times. If you don't, then it would be my fault, because I'm going to be held accountable before God to you know, we've got to kind of bring in the present. We can't just be worshiping the past. You know, Jesus came and he left, but he left us with the Holy Spirit to be active. Not just wait for him to come back and be passive. So, again, they're willing to kill themselves. They said they wouldn't mind losing 18 million of their own people with the use of nuclear weapons, because the chaos of killing Christians and Jews along with it will stimulate Mahdi to come into the world. Believe that? I mean, that's what they said. They're willing to kill 18 million of their own people just to see Christians and Jews die, if it will throw this world into chaos so that Mahdi will come back and take over. Scripture talks about this kind of fear and insanity. It does. People will be running around in fear. They'll be running around with insanity, because these things, as they attempt to do these things, it causes fear in Christians, and you know it, and it causes fear in the world. And they want this chaos. They're looking for the chaotic nature of what happened at 9-1-1. They're looking for the chaotic nature of what's happening over in Turkey and over in Syria right now. They're looking for the chaotic nature that occurs in our lives every day when we're coming across even division in our own country. They're coming. They want to cause the division. They want to cause the chaos because it's going to stimulate Mahdi's return. That's their belief. Fear. They want to instill fear. And Jesus says what? My peace I've given to you, not as the world gives. But the only peace and the only way you're going to get through this is if you have my internal peace that only I can give, because I live within you. That should begin making sense now to your spirit, man. You're not going to get peace by reading the news. We're never going to get peace through, Jesus didn't come to bring social change. He became to bring heart change. He didn't go to war with all those that were against the Jews at the time. He says it's not the time for that. It's the time to preach the good news, so that people will come into the kingdom, so that when I do come back the second time, it won't be for that peace. It's going to be to separate the wheat from the chaff and bring those who have trusted in me home, because this is not home. We're here temporarily. You will go back to dust. Your spirit will go on to be with Christ forever and ever and ever. And that's such a hope. Such a hope. That's what I hold on to. Jesus in Matthew 24, if you read it, said, unless he were to intervene, no flesh would be saved. In other words, there's going to be such chaos, the nuclear weapons are going to start to go off, because when you read Revelation, when it says a third of the world will be tainted, the rivers will be tainted, a third of the earth will be burned, before that was just fantasy. How could that happen today? One nuclear blast. So we know that somebody's going to push the button sooner or later. I mean, we see it now. North Korea, Iran, whoever. Some of these guys that are out there. What do they call them, Rocket Man, or whoever labeled them that? I don't know, whatever. I mean, these are guys, I mean, even when I watch the media sometimes, we got some insane people trying to be in charge. already are in charge. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. I just know that there's going to be chaos, and they're going to use these things to instill fear in Christians and everybody else, because that's where the end's going to come. And Jesus says, if I did not intervene, right, no flesh would be saved. Nuclear bombs would go off. Man would be so divided that this earth would destroy itself, and there would be no one saved. But praise be to God, he came 2,000 years ago to give us a message to say, hang on. And he says, persevere and endure, because I am not going to allow you to fall into that wrath. We will be saved. We do win in the end. It's going to rain on us, but we win. And we have our place and our salvation in him and in him alone. Amen. So don't trust these fearmongers. So as we said before, Ezekiel chapter 37 talks about Israel coming back to their land, right? We talked about that. After being gone for a long period of time to a land that is desolate. Well, the land was desolate. It is now fruitful. They are back. So that's already taken place. Hello, we're getting closer. But they will build it up, it says, Ezekiel. And they will make it very wealthy. Do you understand the wealth at the bottom of the Dead Sea? Do you understand? Well, I think it's going to get into this right here. It'll be so wealthy that Ezekiel 38 and 39 says that 7 or 8 countries will invade Israel in the last days. We know Russia needs the money. We know all those countries surrounding that, all China, all that, they're going to need the money. And it says those that are going to be invading from the north and those that are going to be invading from the east. Why? Because they're going to want Israel's wealth. Israel is going to be such a model of wealth from nothing. And I mean, how do you take this small little country that was nothing but wasteland and make it so wealthy today? God! It's the only way Israel's even on the news is because of God. This little country, the focus of everybody's attention because of God. And he took a wasteland and a barren land in 1948. And today it's one of the wealthiest nations in the world with technology and everything. If that doesn't convince you that there's God, you should be shouting hallelujah. This is today. This is world events. This is what we got to study. I mean, I can preach to you a message on, you know, grace and love and mercy and grace. And we've done that, and that's good and stuff. But I believe now is the time to prepare the church to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That means getting your acts together. That's getting motivated. It's getting passionate. It's getting ready for Jesus. He's coming back, folks. Soon. And very soon. That's another song. Maybe that one you can sing joy for us next week. Soon and very soon. Yeah, right? But it is. That song's no longer just a song. I don't know the day of the hour. No one knows the day of the hour. But I look at the seasons and I know when it's ripe, it's ripe. And we're ripe for the pickings. The world is. I got to get going. I'm preaching now and I need to stick to the teaching here because I'm almost done here. So Ezekiel 38:9 says that 7 or 8 countries will invade Israel in the last days. They will attack from all 4 sides, but when they get to the promised land, God will destroy them. I'm bringing you to the end of Revelation, but you know, we're going to, you know, never mind. I'll be doing a discipleship class on Revelation real soon in January, and you can get to all the everything in between, but I know the end, so who cares? I'm going to the cliff notes. I'm going to the end of the book. We win. So who cares if I even get Revelation right or any of the other guys on TV or the radio, whoever you believe, pre-trib, post-trib, whatever, all that other go. It doesn't matter. In the end, we win. And Jesus is coming back. That'll save a lot of time and energy. We can just come on in and worship together, right? Goodness gracious. Very important doctrine, though. Doctrine is extremely important, and we have to make sure that we do have it right. And if we don't know, we have to be able to be bold enough and humble enough to say, I don't know. I don't know. But this I do know. Because I know it because it's already happened. Israel is very wealthy. Okay? Now, they're going to come from all 4 sides and God's going to take care of them in the end. It's all being set up right now just as the Bible has predicted. Israel came back to the land, forming a state in 1948 that is rapidly growing in wealth. In the Golan Heights, listen to me folks, in the Golan Heights, which is north towards Syria, on an oil reserve was found that could literally sustain Israel for centuries. They found an oil reserve in the Golan Heights that could sustain Israel for centuries. Usually oil runs 35 meters deep in an area. This one is possibly 350 meters deep. 35 meters for most countries for oil. 350 meters deep. Do you don't think Russia's got an eye on that? In Iran, in Iraq? And all those surrounding countries? Interestingly, the Golan Heights is in a disputed area. We talked about that last week. It was Syrian territory until 1967. But what happened in 1967? Israel took their rightful land back. It's now Israel territory. However, the Syrians still claim it and have Iran and Russia on their side. And we can see that in the news today. Part of the invading force of Ezekiel 38. If you look at Ezekiel 38, you're going to see the Iran, Russia, Syria forces coming in from the north, okay? It's just, I know because that's due north, okay? 2,600 years ago, Ezekiel said that Gog, he used that term, would march on Israel who had been scattered and then regathered. Isn't that incredible? Did I tell you that 2,600 years ago Ezekiel said that? Okay, I didn't think so. All right, 2,600 years ago, Ezekiel said what just happened in 1948. 1917 was the Balfour, and that's when the British gave it to Israel, and then they settled it and made it a state in 48. Ezekiel said, see, he's probably up in heaven. I told you boys, I knew it 2,600 years ago. So he said that Gog would march on Israel who had been scattered and regathered. We think that Russia may be Gog, okay? You know, if you don't think it's Gog, it's going to be somebody north, okay? Russia may be the Gog of the Bible because of its location to the far north of Israel. And Russia's allies are Persia, Iran, and Syria. Just happens. Just saying, right? We've recently seen this alliance come together in the last few years, and it's been in the news a lot, and I already told you that. Folks, Russia and these invading countries are present right now on the Syria-Israeli border with four different military bases. They're present already with four military bases on the Israeli border. Russia has the largest submarine in the world parked outside the Syrian coast with 120 nuclear weapons on it. They've got Tomahawk tactical missiles and Iran's most elite troops. So right now, they're knocking at the door, literally. Now, under our last administration, the United States of America released billions of dollars to Iran, trusting their word, he trusted their word, to denuclearize. However, and you can read it in any paper and get the truth, I'm just delivering it to you. They immediately began ramping up their missile programs in violation of the treaty. Iran still claims the desire to wipe Israel out. That's not going to change from any country, whether it's England, the United States, or whatever, promising them anything. They have a declaration in their religious attitude and makeup that the United States and Israel are to be wiped out. So they will tell you anything. If you think they're going to wipe us all out, they're not going to lie. How gullible could we be? We became a laughingstock in the Middle East when we funneled all that money in, and they said, oh, we're not going to do any more nuclear weapons. And now today we found out that, oh, they're still ramping it up. But we also know that it will not be the United States of America that will save Israel. It'll be God. It'll be God. I don't, you know, no matter how powerful we get, or no matter who's up in the presidency, or no matter what happens in the United States of America, we have really nothing to do with it. God's going to save Israel. He said it all the way back when, and it's coming to pass, and we can see it. It will be an angelic, Jesus-filled sky. It will be a supernatural annihilation of those who are not God's. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, you better come to know him quick, because we don't know when that time's going to happen. But in looking and seeing and reading the news, we know that we are living it, folks. We're seeing things that the angels and the prophets long to see. We're seeing the mysteries being unfolded even as I speak. But we must continue to stand by Israel, because God blesses those who support her. Genesis 12, 1-3. Now the Lord said to Abram, before he changed his name to Abraham, father of all men, right? Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. That's tough, leaving your family and just going on what God says. Just, I'm going to show you something. And I will make you what? A great nation. And he says, I will bless you and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless who? Those who bless you. And the one who curses you, now we're talking about Abraham in the natural, right? It's Israel. The one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So he knew that the Gentiles, because God's outside of time, would have their opportunity to come in, and Abraham would be the father of all. And through Abraham, for those who will bless them, will be blessed. So whether you like Israel or not, doesn't matter. Bless Israel. Bless them. Because they were chosen by God. And their disobedience led to us being grafted in. And in the end, the two shall become one new man. We're becoming one new man with Messianic Jews right now, but in the end, when every eye sees, right? And if they're still alive and they see Jesus, it's not like the Jews don't believe in Jesus, they just don't believe he's come yet. At least some of them. There's a lot of atheists, and they're not going, right? Somebody asked me the other day when I got done with my sermon, well, are the Jews going to automatically go even if they don't believe in Jesus? I said, no, only those that believe in Jesus. But the Jews have a privilege. They were chosen by God in the beginning. And when they see Jesus, I can't see a lot of the ones that have at least some background in it are going to get on their knee and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. But there are going to be some that are going to hide behind the rocks and tree. For whatever reason, they're going to reject. And I don't get that. But anyway. Those nations that have previously attempted to eradicate Israel have been cursed and they have suffered because of it. Interestingly enough, North Korea now has a relationship with Iran, and they are sharing technology. God help us. And we all know about Rocket Man. Isn't it interesting how things are lining themselves up for the end time Armageddon? And I was there. I saw the field of Armageddon. We stood up on it. And it's as far as the eye can see. And it's a valley. And it's just a land that's there. And it says in the end that the horse's bridle's blood will be filled up to the horse's bridle from that time of war that God will bring upon those countries who attack his people. Folks, we're living in the last days. Time is short and we need to make the most of it. We are called to be what? Ambassadors for Christ. So let's not neglect Israel in this calling, since she is at the core of all of history and at the core of all current events. She will be the recipient of Jesus Christ upon his return on her land, and it will be a governmental center. Israel, Jerusalem, the new one, will be the governmental center of our Lord's reign upon the earth. Folks, bless Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem.